Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Wrestling Uncensored. We are here. We're recapping SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. And we'll talk about the WWE no longer hiring indie wrestlers. Let's go. All right, we are live. What's up? Where's Johnny? Whoa! What's up, Johnny?
Nice graphics that pop up now. It's interesting. We'll get used to it eventually.
I'm used to it.
But yeah, SmackDown was boring as hell again tonight. Rampage has been okay so far. I mean, I'm glad Rampage is only an hour long, so it's kind of hard to be, like, awful.
That's a glowing review for a show. It's kind of hard to be awful. It's only an hour long, so how bad can it really be?
Well, again, we'll go back to those Friday night Dynamites. I mean, yeah. You'll, I think, agree. Those were bad shows, and if they were an hour long, probably not as bad.
They don't have much set up for this Rampage here tonight. It's a tape show. They did it in Milwaukee on Wednesday, and I already know what happens. I read the spoilers before we went on here tonight. Because I wanted to know.
Well, it's still the best match right now that we've seen tonight.
Yeah, we didn't see much on SmackDown tonight. It was a pretty weak show overall, right? I didn't like SmackDown too much.
Well, I liked Roman's promo. I thought Roman's promo was really good, as always.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, he was there. He kind of guided the promo.
He was there. You're giving credit to the man for just showing up? He was there. What do you mean his promo was good? He just stood there. Heyman did the talking. What are you talking about?
And he told him what to say, pretty much. It's good.
What do you mean he told him what to say? The writers told him what to say. It's fake, John.
No, Roman comes up with all his stuff. You're wrong about that. Roman knows what he's saying. It's all Roman.
Oh.
You got to acknowledge Roman Reigns. Like, you still
Johnny
acknowledge
North,
him. He,
Roman Reigns super fan. Roman Reigns little bitch boy next to the Usos. Johnny North angling for a job here tonight. Big Johnny.
No, I
you
just
don't even believe
Roman
that. You acknowledge him. Yes, yes, acknowledge him. Because you're living in the WWE kayfabe world. What are you talking about?
He's the best thing going on SmackDown. There's no question about that. And I'm not lying about that.
I don't know. Becky Lynch came back.
Oh, that was awful. That promo, like, she's not that great at promos. Like, I mean, she used to be good. Like, I think she had a streak where she was, like, the hottest thing going wrestling, but she ain't anymore.
Can you hear me all right? I feel like my volume isn't
I hear
loud
you
enough.
Fine.
Oh, okay.
No, I hear you perfectly.
Okay. I don't know. I can't hear myself. Something's going on in my headphones. I don't know. What's going on? Where am I?
As long as the other people, as long as the fans can hear you, that's the important part. And I can hear you too. Even better.
You can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Everybody can hear me, I guess? I don't know.
I hear no complaints.
All right. Yeah, SmackDown was super boring tonight, man. I can't believe you're giving Roman Reigns credit for a promo he didn't even do. He just stood there as Heyman spoke. Becky at least did her own promo. You're like, oh, Becky's promo was no good. Da, da, da. Roman's promo was great, though. Becky talked. Roman just stood there. What kind of easy job is this for Roman Reigns? This man shows up to work, does absolutely nothing, walks slow to the ring, speaks quietly when he does speak, but for the most part, just stands there and lets Paul Heyman talk. Nothing actually happened till 9:53, and the show ran off the air at 9:59. Roman did 6 minutes of work tonight, and, I mean, you could barely call it work. The guy just stood there as Heyman did all the talking for him. He did nothing. He did zero
tonight.
Becky did,
like, 20 seconds of work at SummerSlam.
So what? Roman, I just can't believe you're starting the show. Roman's promo was good. He didn't cut a promo. Did you watch SmackDown? I'm attacking you personally now, John. I'm not attacking Roman. I'm going after Johnny North.
Backstage. He was talking backstage quite a bit.
No, he wasn't. He said nothing. Roman Reigns. So the Roman story tonight, okay? Just to recap what happened. Thank you, Grimskull. Heyman is backstage outside of Roman's locker room or whatever personal area. And he's trying to get inside, but the door is locked. And then the Usos come out and they question him about Brock Lesnar. They're like, we know that you're Brock Lesnar's friend. Did you know that Brock Lesnar was showing up at SummerSlam? Did you know he was going to come and confront Roman Reigns? And Heyman says, no, I had no idea. I did not know that Brock Lesnar was going to be here. I did not know that Brock Lesnar was coming back. And the Usos are kind of skeptical. They don't really believe Paul Heyman. And they also question him. They're like, well, why did you send us backstage earlier in the night? So that we couldn't be there to attack Brock. And Heyman's like, no. It was the Tribal Chief that sent you backstage. I had nothing to do with it. So it seems like maybe, Heyman is in cahoots with Brock Lesnar. And the Usos are definitely very suspicious. Then Roman Reigns shows up later. Heyman is outside of the locker room still looking just afraid. Roman walks around the arena looking confused. Why do you look so confused the whole time? He's like walking around and he's just got a confused look on his face. He runs into Paul Heyman. He's like, what? Do I have to open my own doors now? And Heyman opens the door for him. And Roman says, aren't you going to come in? And then Heyman goes in the locker room. Two lines. Oh, I have to open my own doors now? Aren't you going to come in? That's the work that he did tonight. That's the talking that he did. That you're giving him all this credit for. And then before they went out to do the family celebration, Heyman gives Roman the Universal title and says, you guys go out. It's a family celebration. And Roman says, wise man, you are family. I love you. And that was it. That's all he said all night. He said four lines. He's one of the highest paid guys in the business. He's the main event of the whole show. He does nothing. Johnny North. A lot of the wrestling audience wants to give him all the credit in the world. I think he does jack shit. I like what Matt Riddle said about him. You see what Riddle said about him? That was fantastic. Let me read you some quotes from Matt Riddle. Because that guy really went off. Did you like what Roman did tonight, John? After I just recapped what we saw tonight, which was nothing. Let's hear you defend Roman and how great he was.
Best part of the show tonight, without question. Hands down, Roman was the show tonight.
I thought Sami Zayn and Dominic Mysterio were the best part of the show tonight.
Yikes.
I mean,
that was the best part of the show?
It was the best match that we saw. Maybe the four-way.
I thought the interaction.
The four-way was all right.
Yeah, the interaction.
Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair was pretty good.
Once it got to that point.
Yeah.
Super chat. Yes. Super chat.
I wouldn't say it started off very good. It started off kind of sloppy, to be honest, but it got better once it was just down to Liv and Bianca. Yeah. That was all right. That was probably the best wrestling we saw was just that interaction.
Yeah, I think you're right. Liv and Bianca probably makes a four-way the match of the night tonight. Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. Thank you, Harold, with the $5 super chat. Says, great start to the show as always. You are always better in entertainment than the WWE. Not hard to beat. Not hard to beat World Wrestling Entertainment these days. Not a very entertaining show. Not very wrestling heavy. Not very entertainment heavy. Not very world heavy either. They're only in the United States. They should call themselves USA. Not entertaining, bad comedy show. All right? WWE does not. I mean, it used to be like, well, it's barely wrestling. Now it's barely wrestling. It's barely entertainment. They're not even around the world. It's local, non-entertaining, pretend fighting. WWE. It's weak. Weak sauce tonight.
I just found a lot of the promos tonight. There just wasn't much to them, except the last promo. But the other promos, it just felt like nothing really happened tonight.
Boo! I'm booing you profusely, John.
No, but like the Baron Corbin and Big E thing, like, what was that? They just came out, did some talking about like, oh, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Nope, get out of the ring. Oh, I'll get out of the ring.
Yeah, then like, they just got out of the ring. Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. That Baron Corbin Big E segment was an all-time awful segment. We'll get to that in a second. Let's stick to Homan and Raymond. Heyman and Roman, whatever their names are. So Heyman talks for a while about how Roman took out John Cena at SummerSlam, and then Finn Balor shows up. Roman didn't talk at all the whole time in the ring. Said nothing, did nothing. Okay? Finn Balor shows up, says, oh, I'll deal with Cena in due time, and I want the Universal title. But I know that Brock Lesnar's around, and I don't trust anybody. So I was going to challenge you to a match at Extreme Rules, but I know Brock's around, and I'll probably not get that match. So how about next week on SmackDown for the Universal title, Roman? And Roman just kind of looks at him, and who threw the first punch? No, Finn. Finn tossed the microphone at Roman, which caused the Usos to attack Finn. Roman did absolutely nothing. Maybe threw a couple boots down at Finn. And then the Street Profits came out to make the save. Roman exits the ring, does shit all, and the Usos get beat up by Finn and the Street Profits to close the show. Terrible finish to SmackDown. And again, you're giving Roman credit for a couple lines backstage and a couple pre-taped things and standing in the ring at the end of the show and doing nothing. Give Heyman credit. Give the Usos credit. They talked more than Roman Reigns did tonight. They spoke more in that interaction with Paul Heyman backstage than Roman Reigns did all show.
Well, Heyman's always great. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, I think everyone praises Paul Heyman. Like, without question, I mean, best manager in wrestling right now. I mean, they don't call him manager, but he pretty much is. I think there's no question about that.
Well, I don't know. Does he have competition, though? Best manager in wrestling right now. All right. Yeah, Don Callis is pretty close.
I think Heyman's a better, like, actor than Don Callis is. Don Callis is, like, kind of one kind of set, like, way he's got to be.
Yeah.
Heyman's all over the place. Like,
yeah. I think I like Don Callis better because he stands next to Kenny Omega, who's like a little more fun to watch than Roman Reigns, as far as I'm concerned. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. Finn versus Roman next week on SmackDown for the Universal title?
Is that confirmed? Or they threw it out there. They didn't confirm it yet.
I mean, I'm asking you, is that something you want to see? Do you care?
It's a pretty big match. I care about that match much more than anything we saw tonight. I think that's a huge problem with a lot of the matches on SmackDown. A lot of these matches don't really mean much, and they lack star power. Like you say, oh, Sami Zayn versus Dominic Mysterio. Like, I'm sorry, that's opening match. That's not main event.
Dominic took a pretty good bump when he flew out of the ring on the botched 619 attempt there on Sami. That was pretty nice. I like that. Dominic, like, flew out of the ring there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, there can be some good moments. I'm not going to say, like, the match is going to be absolutely awful because of who's in it. I'm just saying, like, in terms of star power, it's like, I'm going to wait to the end of the show to see these guys? Like, I'm sorry. Like, they just don't have that star power.
Yeah, well, the main event of SmackDown was the Roman Reigns promo that, you know, he didn't really cut himself. I'm just watching Eddie Kingston suplex Miro. Ooh. Miro was beating up Fuego del Sol on Rampage, and now Eddie Kingston came out, attacked Miro, and actually suplexed him. And Eddie Kingston doesn't look tiny next to Miro somehow. Eddie Kingston looks pretty
Miro's
thick.
Not exactly, He's not super tall, is he, Miro?
No,
Like
but he's like
he's like 6 feet.
jacked.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's definitely wider. Like,
yeah, Eddie looks like he's thickened up a little bit too. You haven't seen Eddie in the ring. I think it'll be Eddie versus Miro at the next AEW pay per view. We do know it'll be the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks, which we should talk about in a bit here. But let's stick to SmackDown for the moment. Finn versus Roman next week. Whether they do it or not, I don't really care. Because, again, like Finn mentioned, Brock Lesnar is looming. Finn keeps getting thrown into these situations, and then he's like the B story for the bigger star, John Cena or now Brock Lesnar. I think Brock versus Roman at Extreme Rules is the most likely scenario right now because, you know, Brock just came back at the last pay-per-view. Everybody's expecting Brock to show up at the next pay-per-view and have a match. He was at the last one. You set it up for the next one. Brock apparently has a year and a half deal for 8 matches total in the WWE. I think that was according to Wrestling Observer. Which is interesting.
Well, eight
matches is not that much.
You would think they'd save it for like the big 4 pay-per-views. Like Extreme Rules, I'd be very surprised if you actually see him wrestle. Like in appearance, sure. But I don't know if I'd use one of those matches right away.
Why not? Why not? I mean, if you think about it, Survivor Series isn't that big of a deal. You know he's going to be at that Money in the Bank if they're doing it in that football stadium in Vegas next summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's one, SummerSlam, Mania, 2 Manias. That contract is going to take in 2 Manias, right? It's like a year and a half. So it's Mania 2022, and the contract will probably wrap up at Mania 2023. So you got 2
Don't
Mania.
Don't forget Saudi Arabia.
2 Mania matches, say 2 Saudi Arabia matches in a year and a half. That's 4 matches. Maybe a rumble or two. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
Do you give him an Extreme Rules match? Do you do it at Extreme Rules? Because the matches, 2 Manias, a couple rumbles, couple Saudis. That's 6 matches. You got 2 left with Brock on the contract, if the contract is correct. Do you do Roman versus Brock here at Extreme Rules on next pay-per-view, or do you save it for... That's the thing, John. What do you save it for? Like, you kind of started it here. Do you really push all the way to November at Survivor Series for that? I don't think you do. I think you do Roman Brock here. You have Roman win. Or you think you save it for October in Saudi Arabia? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's... I mean,
okay.
He's probably going to wrestle there, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not that long of a wait. And you have Finn Balor. Might as well use him for at least September and then... You know, it's not too far away to October, so I could work out pretty well, I think.
You might be right. You might be right about that. We'll see. But it will happen pretty soon. The Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match, whether it happens, you know, at Extreme Rules or Saudi Arabia, whatever. I don't see Brock beating Roman, especially with the limited schedule. I really don't care that much. I don't care about Roman and Finn either. I don't see Finn beating Roman. I don't know how great the match will be. I'm not that interested. Roman Reigns, as exciting he is, as he is for you, he's as unexciting for me. Like, I'm totally bored by this guy. He's doing nothing for me. I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's so great. And I'm just, I don't know. The matches are kind of, the promos, I mean, are just the same every time. I don't get it. People are like, well, his facial expressions, the way he carries himself. Yeah. All right. I don't know. Matt Riddle came out and said about Roman Reigns. He says, who did he say this to? Bleacher Report. Matt Riddle says, no disrespect to Roman. He seems like a swell fella, but at the same time, it's like when people say they're a good parent. You know what? If you were a good parent, your kids wouldn't be telling you you're a good parent. No, your kids would be telling you you're a good parent. When he's saying, acknowledge me or I move the needle, no, you don't. You're related to The Rock, shut up. Like, I'm not impressed. I could beat you up in a real fight, so shut your mouth. I like that line. You're related to The Rock, shut up. Like, I'm not impressed. I could beat you up in a real fight, so shut your mouth. Thank you, Riddle.
Yeah, but he's just working. He's just working there.
Yeah, like, sure. I mean, you could say he's working, and it's a work, and it's, you know, he's trying to build towards something maybe down the road with Roman. Riddle is a babyface on the Raw brand and one of the tag team champions, though, and Roman is a heel on the SmackDown brand and the Universal champion. Like, they're not involved in anything.
Drop's coming up.
Yeah. I like what Riddle's saying about Roman.
Naomi had a switch, but whatever. Like,
well, because they're on the road and she's married to one of the Usos.
Yeah, I know, but it's like we're having a draft. So are we going to switch the wrestlers, like, just out of nowhere, randomly, for no reason? You gave a reason, but they're never going to say that reason.
What was the reason? Oh, the reason I gave. Yeah, because of Jimmy Uso. Yeah, they won't say that. Whatever. WWE doesn't seem that interested that Naomi is back. She did a backstage promo with Sonya Deville. Sonya was like, oh, I didn't even know you were coming. I don't have anything for you. Maybe check back with me next week. Basically told her creative has nothing for you. Okay. Interesting story for
that
Naomi.
Promo to say too.
Yeah, she said nothing. Not great.
Pretty bad.
Yep. What else happened on this awful show? Like we said, Sami Zayn beat Dominic Mysterio after a Helluva kick. Rey Mysterio was backstage with Dominic before the match, telling Dominic that it's time for him to step back, and he's going to let Dominic be his own man and do his own thing. Midway through the match, though, Rey just came out anyways to be in Dominic's corner, right? You tweeted about that. You were mad about that, right?
Rey does this all the time.
Yeah,
he says one thing, does the other, like all the time. Like, oh, you gotta, you know, win by yourself, Dominic, and then they cheat to win all the time. Like, okay.
Rey went to see Dominic after the match. Dominic walked away from him, though. Didn't want to hear it from his daddy.
Tell you, man, turn Dominic heel. Like, people love Rey. Dominic, not so much.
Yeah, I think people really don't like Dominic. If Rey attacked Dominic, I think he'd get cheered. So Dominic has to kind of beat down his dad at some point. Makes sense. I think they have to do it down the road. Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura beat the Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, by pinfall after Boogs had a nice pump handle slam on Ziggler. Boogs is a good wrestler. Somehow. He's super annoying character-wise. But as far as in the ring, like, he's pretty decent.
What I like, unlike Elias, like, he actually uses his gimmick in the ring. Like, he plays up to his gimmick. Like, he just doesn't just do whatever. Like, a lot of what he does is because of the way he is. So that's what kind of, you can relate to him more. I find the fans can get into him more because he kind of is the gimmick all the time. So that's really good for him. And his wrestling's not bad. We have only seen him like in limited like amounts, but you know, it seems like he's pretty decent. It just seems like it's going to take time because like right now he's in a tag team in a sense, so got to wait and see. It'd be interesting to see them go for the tag titles. Actually,
he's a heel though.
Is he? Doesn't act like a heel.
No, but the gimmick, man, it's not likable.
It's getting cheered. It's working.
Is he getting cheered, though? Is it really working? I don't think so. And the tag team doesn't make sense because Nakamura is the Intercontinental Champion. I think Boogs turns heel, attacks Shinsuke at some point, and they feud. I think that's where they're headed. This Dirty Dogs match was just, you know, whatever. Apollo Crews cut a promo on Shinsuke during the match in one of those little box screens. Apollo's not done with Shinsuke. He wants his Intercontinental title back. So, there's that. They're not disappearing Apollo, which you thought they might.
Well, he wouldn't back, though, is a huge question.
No.
I mean, if he doesn't want it, he really needs to win that match. He's going to be, like, relevant again. If he doesn't, like, he's pretty much done. Like, they're going to have to send him back to Raw or something because there's nothing else for him.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe they repackage him again, take away that ridiculous accent.
I doubt that.
You were excited about talking about Cesaro for some reason. He had a match with Chad Gable that I was thinking was going to be the show stealer of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just got distracted by Penelope Ford. Good God almighty. What is going on there? Cesaro beats Chad Gable by disqualification when Otis attacks. Otis and Gable beat down Cesaro after the match with a nasty German suplex and an Otis splash. So Cesaro gets the win by DQ. The match was going pretty well. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be really good, but it ended very quickly, very abruptly. And hopefully we get to see this match actually play out one day, but who knows? These Otis and Gable matches never seem to actually have finishes, and then they move on to the next person they're feuding with. They were feuding with the Street Profits. They seem to beat the Street Profits, but now the Street Profits are challenging the Usos for the tag team titles for some reason. Why? Why don't they push Otis and Gable? I like these guys. They just never go anywhere with them. Yeah, Franco sees what I was distracted by. Like, good God almighty, what was happening there with... Is that normal? Is it always like that with Penelope Ford? Does she look different tonight?
I think it was just the way she, like, the camera outfit was and everything.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Good God. Let's turn over. Look at Rampage. Penelope Ford helping the Bunny get the win over Ty Conti. I know Johnny's super disappointed by that. World's biggest Ty Conti fan, Johnny North. Cesaro and Gable, though, pretty good, John. Yeah.
Well, it was okay, but like you said, like, it was kind of short. All the other matches get like a commercial break. That one didn't. You know, the one that deserved like to go longer didn't go longer, so that was kind of disappointing. And the finish is just like lame as hell, like DQ finish.
Yeah, I think Cesaro versus Gable or Cesaro versus Otis, if they're allowed to have some time and do a real match, could be very good. But it's not what we got tonight. I guess we can hope for the future. And nothing happened on this stupid show. What a bad SmackDown tonight. Edge cut a backstage promo about beating Seth Rollins, but he didn't like that he had to go to a dark place to do it. Seth Rollins cut a backstage promo congratulating Edge for the win, but he seems like he's maybe gone crazy from losing to Edge. Is that not over?
Like... It didn't seem like it, sadly.
Ugh. Nothing ends in this stupid show either. Baron Corbin is in the ring. That ended. He's not poor anymore. He's now rich. I like that turnaround. He's happy and rich. He took his last $35 after SummerSlam and won tons of money in Las Vegas, and now he's filthy rich. Like, seems like he's got millions of dollars now. Which is strange that he turned $35 into, like, several hundred thousand at least. He offered Big E $100,000 for the money in the bank case, and Big E didn't take it. Corbin somehow got very rich in Vegas gambling, which WWE is really promoting gambling. Like, look, this guy was broke, he had $35, and now he's a millionaire from gambling. By the way, if you want to bet with us, go to bet99.com, use that promo code RINGSIDE. You too can be like Baron Corbin if you take our picks for all the UFC fights that happen. Go to bet99.com, use that promo code RINGSIDE. Help yourself out, help the Ringside Report Network out as well. Put out my Ultimate Fighter picks last night on the show. I'm going with Brady over Tercios and Battle to win. Brian Battle and Brady Highstand. Those are my picks tomorrow night for the UFC. Go get yourself Baron Corbin rich with bet99.com and the promo code ringside. Figure if WWE is going to do it, we're going to do it too. Corbin is now Stinking rich. Big E comes to the ring after Corbin invites him. Corbin offers Big E money for the Money in the Bank contract. $25,000. Big E says no. $50,000. Big E says no. $100,000. Big E says, well, the kids do need braces. He has no kids. I don't think the audience got the joke. I don't think I even got the joke. I was like, is that like a Simpsons Lisa needs braces thing? Like, was I don't know why he said that. It was weird. But he eventually did decline the $100,000. Do you have any insight into the braces comment from Big E, John?
Kofi's got kids. That's so all
maybe,
I got.
Maybe they need braces and Big E's trying to take the money for them. I don't know. Woods has kids too, so there you go. Big E tells Corbin to leave the ring or get slapped in the face. So Corbin leaves quite happily. And that was the end of the segment.
And they played his music too, which was even more bizarre. Usually the guy that leaves, they play the other guy's music, but nope. Talk about action-packed excitement tonight.
They goddamn set nothing up there. And like, hey, get out of here. I'm going to slap you in the face. Okay. Bye. And that was it. Big E just stands there looking stupid. They are not helping Big E. It is not working. He's got the Money in the Bank, but goddamn. They're giving Corbin way more. Way more. Look at the characters that he's getting to do. Different theme music this week. Now he's rich. And by the way, doesn't this feel like just a different version of that NXT guy, Cameron Grimes, who was like doing a rich guy gimmick, who just struck it rich?
Well, WWE always recycles old like storylines, gimmicks. Like, you know, they have the Raw and they have the SmackDown version. Now they have like the NXT version. They have the SmackDown version.
Is that what that is?
Or Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, right? It's like a very similar gimmick to Cameron Grimes. And it sucks. It sucks.
Ugh. Well, they can copy themselves, right? There's no problem with that.
I mean, I guess. It's not very original. It's not very interesting. But hey, it's SmackDown. Kevin Owens and Corey Graves were on commentary tonight with Michael Cole to replace Pat McAfee, who has COVID. Who I saw had like a 104-degree fever. And he's fully vaccinated. I didn't know that you could get a 104-degree fever with COVID and feel like shit if you're fully vaccinated. I don't like that. I don't like hearing that. It makes me worried. So Pat McAfee, apparently he's not going to die, but 104 fever, it's like, what the fuck? That's not good.
Imagine if he wasn't fully vaccinated, how bad it would be.
He might die, I guess. I don't know. I don't know, John. You know, Pat McAfee not there. Kevin Owens got the spot on commentary. Feels like they're Samoa Joe-ing Kevin Owens. It's kind of making him a guy that they use, like, you know, he's not seriously on the roster. He's just kind of there on commentary or wherever they'll fit him in.
Well, I guess it's good that he was on TV this week, you know, and
sure.
you saw him quite a bit. I wasn't a huge fan of his commentary. I thought he was way too cynical with everything. So, and then when he actually was serious, he was still kind of joking about everything. So I wasn't a huge fan of it, to be honest. But, you know, he's got a job and he does it. So and he's happy with it, I'm sure. So that's the important part.
I guess. I don't know. I don't have anything really to say about Kevin Owens' commentary. It was what it was. Wasn't particularly great. It wasn't awful. You know, it was WWE commentary. Well, it kind of blends into the background. I don't even notice it.
You know, Kevin's a good talker, so you expect like it's actually going to be really good. So when it comes out like that, I was disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't care anymore about Kevin Owens' commentary, whatever. It's like, who cares what he's doing on commentary? It just didn't matter to me because it just didn't matter in the overall scheme of the show. Becky Lynch matters. She was in the ring for a promo to start the show. probably the best part of the show was the beginning here with all the women. They had a good match, probably the match of the night as well. Becky wasn't in it, of course. Becky talked. She says she's back. She's better than ever. Fans were cheering her. Then she starts talking about SummerSlam. The fans were booing her. She said she'd like to apologize for how things went. She'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing. Kind of like Conor McGregor after he beat Eddie Alvarez. I'd like to apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. Becky kind of doing the McGregor, which has been part of her career, kind of being the Conor McGregor of the WWE. Taking a lot of McGregor flavor. Of course, they're both Irish, but there's a lot of Conor McGregor promo in the Becky Lynch promo. Bianca Belair shows up. Bianca wants a rematch. She wants it tonight. Zelina Vega shows up, and she wants a match, of course, because Zelina, always there for some reason. Carmella shows up, also wants the match for the title. Liv Morgan shows up, got a pretty decent pop. Hasn't been seen in a while. She wonders why Carmella and Zelina keep asking for title shots when they lose every match that they're in, which was a valid point because, Zelina, I don't think, has won a single match since returning to the WWE. Carmella seems to lose a lot too, but Zelina especially, she's always inserting herself into like these promos with Bianca or Sasha or whoever, and she's like not won a match. Like, why is she still involved in this? Shouldn't she win a match at some point or disappear? It's like they have nothing for Naomi, yet Zelina Vega is continuously on the show, and she's always losing, you know? Like, from a kayfabe perspective, like, from a storyline perspective, it doesn't really make sense that Zelina keeps showing up, but hey, whatever. Carmella says it must be nice for Liv to be in the ring now when she's been in catering for the past 2 months. Bianca asks Becky for the match again. Becky says no and leaves, which leaves Bianca, Zelina, Carmella, and Liv to all brawl, which led to a fatal four-way. I thought the opening promo was good. I thought Becky was really good. She had them eaten into out of the palm of her hand. When she wanted them to cheer, when she wanted them to be on her side, they were on her side, and she was able to turn the fans against her pretty damn quick. The fans of Little Rock, Arkansas tonight, definitely down with the WWE program of turning Becky heel. They were booing Becky by the end of the promo.
I wasn't sold on Bianca coming out there, all smiling, playing with her hair. Like, after what happened to SummerSlam, like, you come out like that, like, you're a bit of a joke. Like, if you're not, like, she comes in the ring and then, oh, she's all serious, but when she does her little entrance thing, well, this is the way she always acts. Like, she needs to kind of change that up a bit, or someone needs to tell her, like, you know, there's the turn on the face thing, and then, like, it should always be on when you come out there, not just turn on when you're in the ring, because that entrance, it doesn't feel right when you come out jumping up and down all happy. It's really off-putting.
Yeah. It's weird that she comes out smiling and skipping to the ring when she should be super pissed off. And then she is super pissed off.
She turned the face on when she got in the ring.
Yeah, as soon as she's in the ring.
That's what she knows how to do.
Yeah, she's mad. It's too generic, that entrance. She comes out, she does the whole thing. It's like when Rhea Ripley, though. You know, a lot of the new ones are just kind of trained by NXT, and this is how they're trained to do things, because they haven't really wrestled outside of the WWE. Rhea Ripley comes out, she does her whole, like, fucking entrance thing every time she comes out with the kick and the stomp. Like, even when she's coming out to save somebody, she's got to do the like stomp and the move and the whole thing. It's like every time you got to do this. They have these generic entrances, these video game entrances that they do no matter what's going on with their character and what they're about to do in the ring. It's ridiculous. It's WWE. It's what they do.
That kind of threw the promo off for me, where it's like, you know, Becky, you know, fine, character-wise, she knows what she's doing. But when Bianca comes out and it was just like that, it's like, well, it's really hard to kind of take this seriously when Bianca is like, She's doing her little thing. Oh, now let's change up for this because now we got to be serious. It just threw it off quite a bit by that.
Yeah. Becky was good, though. Becky did her job. Right? She made it work.
She was all right. It wasn't like, wow, it didn't blow me away, you know?
All right.
She's had better promos.
Yeah, for sure. But I thought for what she needed to do, she got the job done. Bianca won the Fatal 4-Way. She eliminated Zelina Vega after hitting her finisher. Liv Morgan then eliminated Carmella, and it was down to Bianca and Liv, which was the best part of the match. Liv brought it. Bianca brought it. Bianca is better in the ring every time she steps in there. What she lacks in promo and character, she more than makes up for in the ring. She's very good. And Liv was pretty good, too. Bianca gets the win over Liv, hits the KOD for the 1-2-3. Bianca wins the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match, beating Liv Morgan, Zelina, and Carmella in what was the match of the night, and probably sets up Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, the rematch at Extreme Rules. Right? It's got to.
Will it have a stipulation, though? I'm thinking probably not, though, sadly. Because now, like, Extreme Rules used to be every match had, like, a stip. Now it's, like, only certain matches have a stip. I feel like because you didn't really get a match last time, now you're going to get just a regular one-on-one at Extreme Rules this time.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's a little far out. When is Extreme Rules?
I think it's at the end of September, no?
Yeah.
Or second to last week.
Yeah, we still have a while. I think it's like the 26th. 26th. Still have a while before we get there. But I think we probably see Becky versus Bianca there. Probably Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss, too.
Super chat. Super chat.
Where did that come from? Angelo Cotagonis dropping the super chat. Hey, guys, just checking in. Working Uber tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Angelo, for the $6.99 super chat. You are the super chat leader tonight, my friend. Taking over from Harold. He does it again. Angelo just checks in to be the leader. He does it again. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Like this video. Become a member of the channel. Click that join button beneath me. Click the join button right under me if you haven't already become a member of the channel. That's how you support this independent. This is for you guys, by you guys. All right? This is completely crowdfunded. We are behind you guys 110% and always giving you our 110% each and every time we check in here on the Ringside Report Network. Because of you, because of the members, because of guys like Angelo, because of guys like Doug Hepburn, because of guys like Franco316, Harold Schneider. Appreciate you guys being members of the team. Appreciate all the new subscribers as well. The subscriber rate is jumping, Johnny. We're getting more subscribers every single day, and we appreciate everybody for subscribing, for clicking that like button as well. If you're watching right now and you haven't liked the video, like the video. Just click the thumbs up. It's very easy. Costs you nothing. And it helps us with the algorithm get seen by more people. SmackDown.
You must
happened,
be pretty happy.
Came and gone. What?
Kenny Omega's wrestling tonight. Like, you must be pretty happy.
Why? It's a tag team match with Brandon Cutler. I don't care.
You don't always get to see Kenny wrestle. Like, you know, you should be appreciative of this, no? Like,
I don't know. He wrestled Christian one-on-one. Christian was the one-on-one a couple weeks ago. Now it's a tag match. Doesn't do that much for me. Like, the one-on-one match with Christian, yeah, I was hyped for that. It delivered. It was great. Tonight, it's Kenny and Brandon Cutler versus Frankie Kazarian and Christian. Doesn't do that much for me. The Lucha Brothers beating the Jurassic Express, that does something for me. That was a surprise. We were thinking it was going to be Jurassic Express for sure and All Out against the Bucks inside the steel cage for the tag team titles. But now it's the Lucha Brothers. 2 years removed from their first meeting in Chicago at All Out. It's a rematch. It was Escalera de la Muerte 2 years ago in a ladder match. This time, they're inside a steel cage. Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. I think this is the best match you could possibly do. I wasn't too hyped to see Jurassic Express go in there again, but a lot of people did kind of think Jurassic Express in the rematch would become tag team champions. It felt like a foregone conclusion that the Jurassic Express was going to get that match, but apparently not, right?
Well, just they were smart and they realized this is the best match. This is probably the match people want to see more. I mean, Jurassic Express already got a title shot recently. I mean, do we really need to see another match just because it's inside a cage? When you think about it, in terms of all the death-defying moves, I think Lucha Brothers, hands down, it's a better match than Jurassic Express. No offense to them, but Lucha Brothers, they're just better in terms of killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they're more high intensity, and on pay-per-view, that's kind of what you want to see. I think they're going to deliver a better match. I think Rey Fénix and Pentagon are more seasoned wrestlers than Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, right?
Plus, a better match for the Young Bucks. That, if you think about it, that was the tag match that helped started AEW in a sense, right? So to go back to that finally, finally the AEW tag team titles, just makes a lot of sense.
Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. He says, let me know if I should watch Rampage after you guys or should I hit the hay? What do you think, John, so far? Rampage? Better than SmackDown? Thank you, Harold, for the super chat, by the way. You are the super chat leader. Shout out to Brian Firth. He's watching, too. What's up, Brian?
But here's one thing, too, though, about Rampage. Like, I'm not hearing it. So, I mean, it's a totally different experience when you hear it. So,
yeah.
Is it good? Possibly. Like, I haven't seen anything wrestling-wise that's really offended me, so that's good.
Yeah, it's been all right.
So that's a positive.
The opening match seemed pretty good. I haven't seen anything else that's been that great so far on the show. The opening match was good, though. Lucha Brothers versus the Jurassic Express. This has been all right. Ooh, Kenny crotching Christian.
This tag match currently is fine.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Not crazy great. This show is kind of like, I mean, after last week, was it last week? Yeah, last week with CM Punk. This is kind of a letdown, right? No matter what you're going to do the week after CM Punk, it's not going to be the same.
That was more for the moment, though. I felt all the other things afterwards really didn't mean anything. I found this has actually been better wrestling tonight than last week from Rampage.
Yeah, you might be right. Doug and Franco both telling Harold to watch Rampage, see Penelope, and then call it a night. Jeez, you guys are too much. I mean, she was a highlight of the show. You got to give her that. She looked fantastic tonight. Christian with the spear. Kenny Omega bails on Brandon Cutler, just leaves him in the ring by himself with Christian. And Christian now with the unprettier on Brandon. Looks like it's going to be the finish here. Kenny is bailed on Brandon. Christian hits his finisher. 1, 2, 3. Christian and Kazarian get the win over Kenny and Cutler. So far, it's Christian 2, Kenny 0 in their series. Christian won the first one. And now Christian in the tag match winning the second meeting. Of course, at the pay-per-view, probably Kenny.
Well, it's just smart booking, too, because it builds up the fact that Christian still really hasn't lost a match yet in AEW. So when he finally does lose that match against Kenny, it'll mean more.
Yeah. I think the match will be good at the pay-per-view. But I think everybody's tuning in to that pay-per-view to see CM Punk's return, right? I think the pay-per-view will be great, but CM Punk is the headliner of that show, no matter what Christian and Kenny are doing. It's all about Punk and Darby, I think.
But I think the title match ends the show, though. I mean, you could probably near the end, obviously, Punk and Darby, but
yeah,
title match is going to close it off.
Yeah. Does Bryan Danielson show up on the pay-per-view?
I think probably, if he does show up, I think next month. They're hyping that whole big thing in New York, I think.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense because they're going to have a huge crowd for that. That makes a lot of sense.
That might be Danielson's first match. I'm hearing that he might actually be showing up at this pay-per-view. Things are happening,
Johnny North. A lot of things. You're in a lot of things. There's a lot of surprises, whatever they say. It's a pay-per-view. They always say that.
Adam Cole, no longer with NXT, no longer with the WWE. He's a free agent. I think he's probably AEW bound. I think we can pretty much confirm that. It hasn't been signed. It hasn't been made official, but, I mean, all signs point to yes, right?
There's a lot of things that could happen here with Adam Cole. I mean, I could see him pop up on Raw, you know, on Monday. It's very possible.
Johnny, come on. Come on, man. You were the same guy who thought Kenny Omega was going to go to WWE. Come on now. You really don't think Adam Cole's going to go to AEW? Britt Baker's there. All his friends and the Elite are there. Like, it's tailor-made for him to go to AEW right now.
It is, but, you know, they offer him a lot of money. It's hard to say no to that money.
I don't know about that. I think AEW is going to offer him some money, too. I don't know how much the WWE is really looking for guys like Adam Cole. WWE says they're no longer hiring indie wrestlers. They don't want to sign any more indie wrestlers to their promotion. This according to a report, I think Wrestling Observer reported this one as well. They're not looking to hire any indie wrestlers. And our friend Jeremy Prophet tweeted out saying, does this mean that if I'm a wrestler trying to get into the WWE, that I should stop wrestling right now to have a better chance? Which is a good point. It's crazy.
It's funny.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You are saying that you do not want to hire people that want to be professional wrestlers. They only want, like, you know, ex-athlete type, football player type people that they can make into pro wrestlers. They're looking for big bodies, basically. They don't want smaller indie wrestlers anymore.
If you're a celebrity, that helps too.
Yeah, celebrity too, whatever. Do they not realize that, you know, Becky Lynch was an indie wrestler? Do they not realize that a lot of their top talent that they currently use were indie wrestlers? I mean, let's go through the indie wrestlers that were on the show tonight. Kevin Owens, Becky Lynch, Zelina Vega. Let's see. Paul Heyman was in the indies for a while, doing his own thing there. Cesaro, of course. Gable and Otis, I think, are WWE products, which shows you what they can do with some ex-athletes, right? I mean, they can make ex-athletes into pro wrestlers. I don't think Baron Corbin wrestled in the indies. I don't think Big E did either. Edge did.
I think Corbin boxed, didn't he?
I mean, that's not wrestling in the indies. He's just a giant guy.
Too.
Yeah, he played football. He's an ex-football player. But he didn't wrestle anywhere, I don't think, besides WWE. Big E either. Edge, of course, did. Seth Rollins, of course, did. Roman Reigns never really wrestled anywhere. Apollo Crews was from the indies. Shinsuke Nakamura wrestled some independents for sure. I think Ziggler and Robert Roode did as well. Ditto for Rey Mysterio, Sami Zayn. Dominic's only wrestled in WWE. Shows you what that is. The Usos only have wrestled in WWE, which shows you again, like, you know, Roman Reigns, Usos. They can make pro wrestlers in the WWE. They can make some pretty good pro wrestlers. Chad Gable, Otis, the Usos, even Roman Reigns. Like, they can make some pretty talented guys. But, you know, there's some talent from the indies as well. But WWE is saying, nope, no more. We don't want them anymore for one reason or another. Why do you think this is? They just want bigger guys? Like, what's the story? Are they going to hire female indie wrestlers or not? They're not looking to bring in any people that have notoriety outside of their company for pro wrestling. If you are a pro wrestler that is semi-famous, the WWE does not want you. They're not interested. If you are an ex-football player, they will take a look at you. I don't understand why they would even do this.
Well, again, I'm just like spitballing here, but I'm guessing they don't want people that have been trained like the indie style, I guess. They don't want to have to retrain them to the WWE style. I guess they probably believe it's easier to train someone from scratch rather than retraining somebody.
Is that really it? It's weird.
I'm spitballing.
Is that not weird to you? Like, WWE is no longer interested in anybody you know that's ever wrestled.
Well, because you listed a bunch of people, right? But not many people that they train just from scratch. And I think it also goes to show, in a sense, like, in terms of indie guys, like you saw with NXT, they kind of cut like half the roster. So I think they're just getting away from that style of wrestling. It's just not for them anymore. Now they want to pretty much just train guys that are going to be like a Chad Gable or an Otis. That's what they want now. But they don't have enough of that. They have too many indie guys now. So now they want to just have new homegrown talent instead.
I mean, if they can make more Gables and Otises, good. But right. if it's going to be, you know, more Baron Corbins and, you know, whoever, Dominic Mysterios, it's like, maybe not. I don't know. I think it's foolish. They've got to have a mix. You know, what about Finn Balor? They wouldn't be interested in a guy like Finn Balor going forward. They wouldn't be interested in Becky Lynch going forward. In Sheamus, in Drew McIntyre. Like, so many of their talent has been in the indies before they were in WWE because they wanted to be professional wrestlers. So they, you know, tried to be professional wrestlers and hoped that the WWE would notice them and their professional wrestling skills so that maybe they could go wrestle for them. Which is, like, you know, makes a lot of sense. But that's not what WWE's looking for. It's like if the UFC was saying, like, we don't want any guys that have fought MMA before. We just want people that have been in other sports, and we want to put them in the cage and see what happens. I mean, it's not exactly the same, because the UFC is a real sport, and WWE is an absolute joke. Absolute joke.
Well, again, taking a guess here, but I think WWE sees it in the sense where indie wrestling, like, is like a disease to you, and if you come to us, like, you're too toxic, like, stay away from us. You know, it's actually a bad thing if you've been indie wrestling, because now it's like, oh, you're wasted goods in a sense. Now they have too much of it. That's pretty much how they look at it, and now they just want to make athletes from scratch instead. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's what it looks like.
How does that make you feel as an indie wrestler who's tried out for WWE and, like, wouldn't mind a deal?
Well, it's disappointing, but not surprising, because WWE, again, they've always been pushing away from wrestling, and they've been more about entertainment. So they're trying to make, like, new stars, but not stars for wrestling. Stars that can act, you know, stars that feel like they're larger than life. That's what they feel like they're lacking right now.
Do you think a guy like Kevin Owens, a guy like Sami Zayn, even a Becky Lynch might take offense to some of this and say, well, what? Because the WWE is basically saying, like, yeah, we tried with guys like you and it didn't really work, so we're going to try with other types of people.
I think their feelings, you know, whatever they feel, they're not going to really say it, because, you know, they're getting paid millions, so they're just going to keep their mouth shut and do their job, and that's it. And, you know, if they have feelings about that, they'll express them after they're released. So, but for the time being, they'll just go with what they're told.
Like Matt Riddle.
Company line. Tell it.
Like, they're not interested in people like Matt Riddle anymore. The guy's one
it's
of the most,
different,
most interesting new stars that they have. Why is it different? He was in the UFC, but after he left the UFC, he was in indie wrestling for a long time. It's not
right,
that
but
different.
Still, a little bit different.
No, and I'll tell you
at
why.
At least he had a background.
Tell you why it's not different. Because Jeff Cobb told a story. You know who Jeff Cobb is? He's a wrestler who works for New Japan. He told a story.
Wrestling AEW.
Yes, briefly. He's a New Japan guy these days. He told a story about a tryout he had with WWE, and he saw a list of athletes and indie guys. He was on the indie guys list. He went to the Olympics for wrestling, and they put him on the indie guys list because he had wrestled in the indies. So you could say it's different for Riddle, but I disagree, because it wasn't different for Jeff Cobb, and it's pretty much the same thing.
Well, it's all about how they identify you. I mean, they just didn't do their research on Cobb, but I imagine on Riddle they did the research. Maybe they didn't.
But he's got the stain of indie wrestling on him, you know? I don't know. But WWE not looking to hire any more indie wrestling, and they're changing up what NXT is going to look like as well. Here is the new NXT logo. It's a brand new look. It's a brand new look for NXT. Kind of looks like Asuka's logo, doesn't it?
I was going to say, it kind of looks like Dynamite almost.
Hmm. I don't hate the logo, but this...
Oh, I think it looks terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It's like someone threw a bunch of paint everywhere, and it's like, well, here you go.
I don't know. I kind of like it. But...
I like us. I don't know about them.
Yeah. This is clearly, you know, a rebrand of NXT, and they're changing directions. It's going to be different. It's going to be different going forward. The talent's going to be different. The look of the show is going to be different. They're changing NXT. They're changing their developmental system and what they're doing and who they're pushing and how their company's going to work. It's a new look for WWE going forward. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's short-sighted to not hire anybody, to have a complete freeze on hiring anybody that's ever wrestled before. When you're a wrestling company, they only want to hire people that are fresh to the business, that they can train themselves. They don't want to hire anybody that's ever wrestled before, even though they're a wrestling company. What?
Again, Angelo, they're steering away from wrestling.
Yeah. Angelo Contagone is dropping $13.99 Super Chat. He says, how was SmackDown and Rampage tonight? SmackDown was not that great. Rampage was okay. The opening tag match was pretty good, probably the match of the night. And the closing tag match was all right from what I saw. Rampage, I can't give you a great review of because I didn't really have a chance to see it that in depth. I'm talking to Johnny and all, but from what I saw, Rampage was all right. SmackDown was not good. Not worth watching. Nothing on the show was worth watching. Nothing. And according to the chat, and maybe me, Penelope Ford was worth watching tonight on Rampage, but that's unofficial. I can't officially say that. I can't confirm or deny. But a lot of people were very excited about seeing her. New look for NXT, Braun Strowman, he was let go. Apparently, he might be headed to Impact Wrestling. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I heard about that. Why not? Like, where else is he going to go? Like, I feel AEW, it's not a great fit right now. Like, Impact, why not? They need star power, so sure. If they're willing to pay him the crazy amount that he's asking for, go ahead, go nuts, crazy for it. I still won't get Bound for Glory, but at least they're trying something.
I think he's a good guy to have for Impact. I think he makes a lot of sense. I've heard they're going to go after Buddy Murphy, too. You don't know how much they're paying him. Maybe his price dropped because nobody was interested.
Okay, if his price dropped, fine. But he was actually for, like, what, $75,000, like, an appearance? Like, it's kind of ridiculous what he's asking for.
For an indie show, like, for a one-appearance deal, he was asking for a lot of money. But I think for a contract... I mean, who knows? Who knows what Impact has given him and what his deal is exactly, but I think he's a big name for Impact. I think he's a guy that could really help a company like that. AEW, I think, is a little too crowded in the main event scene. He wouldn't really fit. Impact makes sense. I'm glad that he's going there. Hopefully he really is. What's his name? Buddy Murphy, I think, is going to Impact, too. Are the Iconics going to Impact? They're teasing a new name, The Inspiration. The former Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, now Cassie and Jesse or something.
I think it's the real names, no?
Jesse and Festus. The Inspiration. with two eyes. They're teasing a return to pro wrestling. Them I could see in AEW. I think the AEW women's division would be much better off with them there. Not only because, you know, Peyton Royce is married to Sean Spears there, who's in AEW, but also because I think they would be great additions to their women's division. Not a lot of characters in that women's division. Not a lot of good promos outside of Britt Baker in that women's division. I think the Iconics would help. They're a very good promo.
Well, NWA is going to be introducing women tag team titles, so possibly an NWA that could work out as well. If they could do some sort of partnership deal where they could do both, that could work out for them. That's the one thing that AEW is lacking. They don't have women tag team titles.
Yeah, I think that they might add them at some point. You saw Penelope and the Bunny kind of forming an alliance tonight. If the Iconics come in, I could see them adding women's tag team championships. Why not? I think AEW might do it.
You know, I'm not big on having more titles, but it just kind of makes sense the way AEW is going right now, the way the women's division is growing, and the fact that it feels like so many disappear for so long. I think you've had tag titles, like, then it gives them a reason to have more women matches.
Well, it's only fair, I think. I mean, you look at their men's division, you have the world title, the TNT title, and tag team titles. You look at the women's division, you have a women's title.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think if you want it to be a little bit more equal, you would give them at least another set of belts, you know, tag team titles. Maybe a mid-card women's title, too, at some point. Like, I think, you know, three, okay, maybe not, John, but, you know, baby steps. But I think if you're going to add any kind of championship to AEW, it's going to be on the women's side, and it's going to be tag team. I think it should happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So maybe it's going to go down. I see Doug Hepburn saying Ruby Soho appears to be going to AEW, formerly Ruby Riot. Yeah, it looks like she's headed there too. A lot of rumors about her going, which good for the division. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she's all right. You know, she'd be a good addition. Like, it's not like, you know, going to change the wrestling landscape, not CM Punk kind of level, but, you know, it's a good addition.
The only thing that CM Punk level that AEW could possibly do right now is bring in Bryan Danielson, which they are going to do. And even that, I don't know if it'll have the same impact as CM Punk. What, who else?
I think Ric Flair. I think that would get a huge reaction.
Not like Punk. That's not earth-shattering. Not like, Flair can't even wrestle.
Not like Punk, but... Yeah, well, Flair seems like he still can wrestle. You saw him interact with Kenny Omega, so...
Yeah, but he can't actually wrestle. Not full-time,
you know,
like
he's
gonna
Punk. He's going to be at the NWA pay-per-view this Sunday.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see what he'll do.
He won't wrestle a match. I mean, he might wrestle a match again in his life. I don't know, but I don't know. Sting Flair, one more time, brother, in Jacksonville. I hope not. I really hope not. But as far as impact level, like a CM Punk, like, come on, man. Nobody moves a needle like CM Punk. Even I, the biggest Bryan Danielson fan in the world, would admit that it wouldn't be as big for AEW as CM Punk. I really don't know. I think the only guy that could come to AEW that would be more earth-shattering than CM Punk would be, like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Undertaker or Triple H or something, you know? Triple H is just sick of Vince. He's all elite now, you know? Something like that. But not, I don't know. It's hard to beat. It's hard to beat. Right? How do you beat CM Punk? The only guy that could beat him would be Stone Cold. Stone Cold's coming in for one more match, son, in AEW. Oh, hell yeah! I mean, I'd be down with that.
More than likely not happening.
No.
But it's a nice thought.
How have we not canceled Stone Cold Steve Austin? Of all the people that get canceled in pro wrestling and all sorts of stuff, what he did to Deborah was goddamn horrifying. She seems to be pretty good-natured about it, but I watched an interview with Deborah recently where she's describing what Steve Austin did to her in a number of domestic violence incidents. And Austin was a fucking monster. Now, I love Stone Cold just as much as the next guy, but when you hear the stories that Deborah tells about what Steve Austin did to her, she didn't want to perform some sort of sexual act on Stone Cold, so he beats her up in a hotel room, slaps her across the face, and then pushes her so hard that she thought that she broke her collarbone, pushes her across the hotel room. And that was just one of three incidents. The third incident, where he was hitting her so much in the head, she thought her head was going to explode and he was going to kill her. She had to call the cops that time. And then she helped him escape serious prosecution and jail time by kind of, you know, being on his side and slightly reconciling him with him during the court proceedings. And then as soon as the court proceedings were over and Austin didn't need her anymore, 2 days later, served her with divorce papers. After she kind of stood by him after, you know, he beat the shit out of her. How have we not canceled Stone Cold Steve Austin? We cancel people for saying things. Austin did things. To his wife. Very bad things. Unforgivable things, really. Yet for some reason, Stone Cold Steve Austin escapes any kind of cancellation by the general public. WWE still uses him. You know what I mean? Hogan was caught saying racist things, which is not good. But WWE canceled him, removed him from the Hall of Fame, eventually brought him back. But, you know, and a lot of wrestling fans are like, fuck Hulk Hogan, we hate him, he's a racist. I don't see that same hatred and vitriol for Stone Cold Steve Austin. And to me, saying racist things is bad, but beating up your wife is worse. It's worse, I think. Both bad.
Well, I told you about this for years now, and it took you a while for you to believe me about this whole thing about Austin.
No, I believe now, I never didn't believe you. I just, you know, like all wrestling fans, we choose to ignore it because it's easier to sleep at night. It's easier to be wrestling fans. It's easier to love Stone Cold when we ignore the horrible things that he's done.
Well, I think the huge difference between Hogan and Austin is that you have Hogan caught on tape saying these things, and the other one, it's Deborah's word, and Austin's never admitted to any of this stuff, so that's the thing. Not everyone's going to believe Deborah.
I believe Deborah. Deborah's very believable. And, yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's really crazy. Gotta love Stone Cold Steve Austin, I guess. But, I mean, he went to anger management. He was on parole, I think, for a year. And he, I think, cleaned up his act. I think steroids and alcohol had a lot to do with what he did, and you can repent and be a better man, but I haven't heard Stone Cold really repent that much about that. And I'm sure he feels bad, but god damn, people get canceled for a lot less. I'm not saying we should cancel Stone Cold. I'm just questioning the whole culture. Just some people get canceled for some things, and then other people don't get canceled for other things, and I don't understand the balance. Johnny North, have you seen that show Heels? Wait, sorry, before you answer that. Doug Hepburn says, the number one show on YouTube, looking forward to Sunday night, go Woodley. Sunday night, I will be back here with AJ and I think Freddie, but I don't know, maybe not. We'll be watching the Tyron Woodley-Jake Paul fight Sunday night here, right here on the Ringside Report Network. I know Johnny's excited about that. Have you seen Heels?
Sleeping, but okay. Heels, not yet, because I heard it only comes out weekly, so I'm going to wait until like a good chunk of it's out, then I'll just watch all of it in a row.
Oh. Well, I saw the first two episodes. I've been watching it weekly, because why not? I want to keep up to date. It's pretty good. I recommend it, John. I think you'll like it. It's not bad so far.
Yeah, I heard it's okay, but it's not like, you know, blow away like, oh, you got to see this right away kind of thing. So I feel like I can wait. It's probably better I wait that I don't have to wait every week. I can just watch it all one shot.
I don't know. I don't mind watching things on a weekly basis, but I understand. A lot of people like to binge things. Franco's saying he cleaned his act with Tide. Yeah, Stone Cold. Good one. With those Tide commercials. Like, he's doing Tide commercials, you know? With Ice-T, who also was canceled at one time for his song Cop Killer, but he's back. He made a comeback. And I think that was bad when they tried to cancel Ice-T for a song. You know, singing a song about killing cops is one thing. Beating up your wife in a hotel room is another. Good God almighty. Yeah, so Heels is pretty good, John. I recommend it. And that's it. That's it for me. Angelo Contagonis, you are our Super Chat leader once again. You did it again, Angelo. Thank you very much. Thank you to Doug Hepburn for dropping the Super Chats tonight. Thank you to Harold Schneider for dropping the Super Chats tonight. Appreciate you, Harold. Appreciate you, Angelo. Franco316, member of the team. Thank you, Franco. Don't forget to become a member if you're not a member already. I know Brian Firth was watching too. Shout out to Brian. He's a member over at the Buy Me a Coffee site. You could go to donate.ringsidereport.net to be like Brian, or you could go to join.ringsidereport.net to join the YouTube channel right now. Join the YouTube channel. What are you waiting for? Click that join button beneath me if you're watching on a desktop, if you're watching on your phone. Go to join.ringsidereport.net. Open it up in a browser. Join. Subscribe to the channel. Become a member. Become part of the team. Get the shout-outs like Doug Hepburn, Franco316, Angelo Contagonis, Harold Schneider. These guys, they get the shout-outs because they're members. You see, that's how it works. Go. Become a member. Join.ringsidereport.net. Don't forget to like this video. Subscribe to the channel. Things are happening all at once. Who just super chatted me? Who was that? Harold Schneider dropping a super chat saying thanks. Thank you, Harold. Thank you. Did Harold just take over from Angelo? Yes, he did. Oh. It happened. Harold dropping the super chat. He's battling Angelo now. I like that. I like the battle, Harold. Harold, you know, he's taking a pop at the champ. Angelo is a super chat king. He's always leading the super chat battles. And we're about to wrap up the show, so I'm going to give Angelo a minute or two because I know he's going to want to hit back at Harold. That's how it always works with Angelo. I know Angelo. Wow. So I'll be back here Sunday night with AJ for the Woodley-Jake Paul fight. I want Woodley to win, but I'm picking Jake Paul to win by knockout. I got Jake Paul.
Wow.
Yeah. You want a prediction? Give me a prediction. You got one?
I haven't really been paying attention to this one whatsoever.
You don't need to.
I was surprised it's even happening this Sunday. Yeah, I guess I go with Jake Paul. I don't know by knockout, though. Wow, like, you really think like he can knock him out?
Yeah, why not?
What happened to Woodley?
8 rounds to do it? What do you mean, what happened? He's lost 4 fights in a row.
He used to be one of the best.
Yeah, he was a world champion. He's 39 now, man. He's been fighting for a long time. He's 39. Everybody's got an expiration date. It's like pro wrestling, man. Everybody's got that bump card. It's the same in MMA. There's only so many punches to the face you can take before you can't take that many more punches. There's only so much in that gas tank before you just can't do it anymore. Woodley seems like he's reached that point. Like, his past few fights in the UFC, he looks like he's reached the point of no return. Like, he's done. But he's not fighting, you know, Vicente Luque or Kamaru Usman here. He's fighting Jake Paul. So it's not like he's fighting some sort of world champion here, but there's Angelo. Angelo just did it again. Screen will change in a minute. There you go. Thank you, Angelo. You are the Super Chat leader once again. You did it again, Angelo. But, you know, Jake Paul's not great, but he's going to be bigger than Woodley, taller than Woodley. He's got better range. And I think, you know, he might be the cleaner boxer right now. Woodley's never been a pure boxer in MMA. He's been a mixed martial artist. You know, he uses wrestling. He's got powerful hands. But Woodley, for the majority of his fight career, fought at 170 pounds. This fight's going to be at 190. Jake Paul keeps fighting guys that are a little smaller than him. You know, little smaller, little older. Smart. You know, yeah, he's picking his opponents. This is a picked opponent. People think, well, Woodley's a real fighter, and, you know, Woodley's going to win, but, you know, Ben Askren was a real fighter, and Woodley is definitely a step up from Ben Askren. Make no mistake, he's much more dangerous to Jake Paul than Ben Askren was, but I don't think he's dangerous enough. Not at this stage in his career. Not right now. I'm going with Jake Paul. As much as it pains me to say it, I would like Tyron Woodley to knock this kid's ass out and then end it. Just be done with the Paul brothers no more. But I don't see this playing out that way. I think Woodley's going to get the win. Paul's going to get the win. I'd love for Woodley to do it. Jake Paul's a favorite, too, going into it, like minus 240.
Well, after the Askren fight, I'm not surprised whatsoever. But, wow, the fact that he's going to knock him out, it's kind of surprising a bit.
Jake Paul says Woodley won't last two rounds. I could see that happening. I could see it ending quick. What? And people being shocked and sad.
The Askren thing lasted, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, it didn't last too long, if that. AJ is picking Tyron Woodley, though, for the record. He's got Woodley. I've got Jake Paul.
He had Askren, too, though.
Yes, of course. I mean, AJ always picks the wrong side of most fights, and he's doing it again this weekend with Tyron Woodley. I've got Jake Paul. Who knows? AJ might be right, but we'll be watching that fight with you here Sunday night. Should be around 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11, maybe 11:30. I don't know. If you like the video and subscribe to the channel, click the bell as well so you get a notification when we're on. You get a little notification when we pop on Sunday night. So then you'll know Sunday night for the Woodley Paul watch along. And then I'll be back on Monday night after Raw with my brother to recap Monday night Raw. Every Monday after Raw, every Wednesday after Dynamite, and every Friday right here after SmackDown on the Ringside Report Network. Angelo, you're the Super Chat leader. Thank you to Angelo. Thank you to Harold for Super Chatting tonight and Doug Hepburn. You guys are the champions of the show. And Angelo, once again, you're the king of the Super Chats. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you again on Sunday night here on the Ringside Report Network.